Welcome back, everyone, to this episode of Shasalfa, where we are inviting Hamid Al-Firhani to have a conversation with us all the way from Qatar. Hamid is a visual artist. He works in the, or he just graduated with a degree in media studies and will, inshallah, go into the media industry of technologies and all that, but bring in his little photography gig in with him too, to innovate that scene for everyone. He works a lot in analog, which I appreciate and I love so much. But before we get into this conversation, I'm pretty sure Shamsa wants to give us a little fun little
icebreaker for today is, Salim, what was that one useless instrument that they taught you in school that you wish you continued to learn?
Interesting. Okay, well, obviously, okay. I don't think this was useless. Are we talking musical instrument, or are we talking like instrument, like tool?
Musical. But if you want to go out with this, I don't mind.
Okay. You know, do you have an answer?
I do, actually.
Okay, can you go first while I think?
Yeah, I mean, they're like, we were taught so many things in my school. I don't know if it was the same for you. We had like the marimba, the recorder, the xylophone, the glockenspiel. We had the keyboards, we had the guitar, and funnily enough, the violin, which was really cool. Cool thing that I would have wanted to continue learning is the violin, but the random thing that I wish I continued learning was the marimba. Because imagine introducing yourself to someone being like, hi, I'm a marimba player. Like, I don't know. I don't even...
Marimba is such a funny word. Like, I don't even think I necessarily know which instrument it is.
It's like the wooden keyboard. It's like...
Oh, okay. I just Googled it. Yeah. I just Googled it. Okay, yeah. That's a cool instrument. I think for me, GarageBand... And it's strange because we didn't even learn it in music class. We learned it in math class, which actually is not strange because math and music always go hand in hand. Pythagoras was in love with music, but was also a mathematician, or math philosopher, sorry, not mathematician. So yeah, GarageBand, because I feel like as we enter this world of Sawalif, sound and music and audio is something that is like so important and significant to everything we do, you know? So I just wish I had that skill of producing sound.
I feel like sound is something that's so like underrated, or not underrated, but like people tend to look over.
Yeah,
which is so ridiculous, because I feel like if you were to watch,
we're guilty of that honestly as well.
I completely agree, but like, look at it this way, I don't know if you agree, but if you saw visuals that weren't 100%, you know, they were like, okay, quality, 780p or something, and then you had really good sound, you are able to be immersed in that story. However, when you are perceiving something that is like amazing digital visual quality, but then you get shitty audio, you're snapped out of that world so quickly.
I so agree. You know who does it so well? And this is a very random plug, but I want to plug Gallery Bawa, run by Bandar Hozan from Kuwait. Bawa and their artist videos, where they start off with a sound that is so authentically Bawa. That little drum and... what's the ring on a drum set called?
No, cymbal. Right?
Symbol. No. It's a drum and cymbal, right?
I think so.
If I'm not mistaken. I couldn't say
the words, but I know exactly what you're talking about. It's so Bawa.
Yeah, it's so Bawa. Like, instantly, the second you hear it, you know it's Bawa. And I think they're, like, not creative director, but the director of a lot of his videos, his name is Umar Al-Naqib. I hope I say his name right. Such a genius. That sound is so instantly Bawa whenever I hear it. Even like outside of space. So thank you for making me regret not learning GarageBand enough. Anyways, that's transition.
back into Hamed. Make sure to follow Hamed on his social media, specifically Instagram at hamed.jf, spelling Hamed, H-A-M-A-D dot J-F. And make sure to head over to our Instagram, swadif.collective, to keep up with all the other artists that are collaborating with us on this project, to stay up to date with all the podcast episodes and what's to come next. And also, please do check out our online store, swadif.store. Pick up our book, Encapsulated Volume 1, photo essays on Khadijiness. Make sure to pick up a print or two, maybe by Hamed, maybe by one of the other artists that collaborate with us on this project. Otherwise, please do stay tuned to the rest of this episode and our conversation with Hamed, which I am incredibly looking forward to.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Salem. Hi, Shamsa. First of all, it's my pleasure to be here with you guys. I appreciate the time you're taking doing this podcast and all the work that you're doing, and I can't wait to see everything. So my name is Hamed Al-Fihani. I'm a Qatari visual artist and a writer as well. I graduated this year, majoring in media industries and technologies, which is a great major, and it helped me a lot in my journey finding myself creatively and all that. I tend to mostly focus on filmmaking and photography, as well as writing. All these things contribute to my like artistic identity. And I find myself kind of always going through themes of like isolation, illness, things that I feel like I used to shy away from, but realize that they are sort of the main reasons behind my inspiration. But yeah, that's me.
I was going to say the pleasure is ours to have you. It's been wonderful meeting you and your art. Yeah.
Oh, I like that, meeting your art. We really are meeting his art, I think. Especially because we're going to a place that we haven't been able to go to for 4 years. Because obviously you photograph your city, your home city, your home country. So it's literally welcoming us into a space that we maybe previously, or we did previously, have no access to. So I think that's really interesting that we have you in this project. And that's something that we want to touch upon in this first section of this podcast. So if Shamsa, you could start us off with the first question that we want to ask him, the first thing we want to explore.
I feel like just going off of what you just said, and also going off of your art, we see that like there's a huge input of your surroundings within your art, and so we wanted to start off by asking you, how do these images capture your connection to your surroundings?
Okay, so I tend to take a lot of images with the things that surround me, and I feel like that's such an obvious thing to say, because what else are you going to take pictures of? But I feel like connections for me are not things that I take lightly. I feel like energetically, I like to think that whatever I encounter, whether it's people, objects, buildings in this case, they all leave some sort of tether that connects me to it. This started out as a crazy and frightening idea, but I've learned to appreciate it slowly but surely. My surroundings are always around me, figuratively and literally. The combination of all of them makes me the person I am. Of course, they're not my whole identity, but they play their part in the performance or the art that I create. My my connection to them is somewhat of a tough thing to describe. I go back to what I said about the idea of the tethers being frightening. To me, being tied to anything was a disappointment. In my head, I believe that freedom, true freedom, came from not relating to anything or anyone. That the only connection I could have was with myself, and that's the only connection that I needed. But as I went through life, and it's not a long journey, it's a short journey, I'm just 21, but I kind of gained the clarity to know that these connections are like central to me, whether it's like the colors of the buildings, the sounds of the people on the street, the sayings that people say that are like spanning generations, the gestures that are so akin to where I come from, they all had their part to play in inspiring me. And I feel like at the end of the day, all I had to do was kind of give them the chance and give that connection that I had to my surroundings a chance to actually make itself prominent.
I like the point that you made about it being a performance. And it's interesting because there's like a character in your images. There's a singular body that is faceless. In a lot of your images, in three of your images, I think there's like a human structure that is existing in this urban space. So I was just wondering, why are these people faceless? If you're trying to put on a performance, why do you not want these people to be seen if it is a performance?
I mean, the thing is about that is that like it is a performance, but not necessarily a performance of people. I feel like if we look at the urban atmosphere that I shot, that itself is its own performance. You know, everyone is playing their part. Everyone is kind of operating in their life as characters. And sometimes I like to think of it that way, where people kind of, not necessarily like following a script, but like we all wake up with things that we know we have to do. And I feel like having that human element there, the human structure, kind of gives it that sense of humanity, that this city is its people, and this place is not just like stone and cement and just like objects that are like that have no like spirit. It really is something that has life, you know, like life was, yeah.
Do you think some objects have spirit and some don't? Do you think there are any objects that have more spirit than other objects? Because for me, sometimes when I walk around, and I think Shamsa, you can even relate to this, living in the area of Abu Dhabi that you used to live in. I think going around Beut Sha'biya or going around traditional housing, I see a lot more spirit, obviously, and I don't want to be very orientalist and very traditionalist when I say, oh, the traditional houses have a lot more spirit, they have a lot more connection. But I feel like they have the material, specifically the material has a lot more experience, or the material is a lot more worn out. So those types of objects, I feel like, have this sense of spirit in them because of how worn out and how, I don't want to say old, but just worn out. Yeah, worn out is the word I use to describe them.
I don't know if you can relate to this, Hamad, or just to like respond to what Salim's saying here is, I feel like a lot of the times with me traveling throughout the city, I get a different I get a different radiation of energy depending on where I am, and I completely understand what you say when you say that in some specific parts of town you feel like energy is maybe a bit more it is different, you know. And I feel like obviously in your work, Hamad, there's a lot of like especially with this project, there's like a huge utilization of the urban landscape that you're in, that and it manifests in a visual sense. And I feel like a good question to ask is like, do you see that like spirit in like, and do you think it's maybe a character that's playing a role in your photography, or is it like I don't know. I don't want to ask you any loaded questions. So I feel like I want to just leave this here with you and see where you can run with it, with whatever has been prompted.
Yeah. I kind of want to go back to Salim when he was like, I don't want to say old, but I feel like it is old. I feel like that's the reason it has so much spirit. I feel like age brings wisdom and it brings the spirit that you're talking about. Because I feel like, you know, age isn't something scary, and calling something old is really just describing it as what it is. Because I feel like the things that lacks in newer spaces and newer buildings is that factor of oldness, that because something is old, it carries so much weight within it, because so much things have happened with that thing being there. You know, so many things, you know, conversations around this thing. It has seen things that we haven't seen, not in my lifetime at least. And I'm like, yeah. You guys maybe can relate that, not in your lifetime either. So I feel like, yeah, like old things do have that spirit that I was kind of searching for. And also not in an orientalist, like, oh my God, look at these old buildings, like they're so amazing. But just in the sense that the energy that they carry is always is there. It's universal, you know? We see it. People who are not in this area see it. So many so many things can be said through this landscape that's been shot.
The three of us have spoken about energy so much in the last 30 minutes of us talking. Like, it's just crazy that we're manifesting all these conversations about spirituality, and now spirituality through material, through the lived form. So I think it's cool. I think our like birth charts are aligning or something, I don't know. But it would make sense to me.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm going to be I'm going to be sort of like psychoanalyzing this conversation at the end there, because I feel like it's so interesting, because I do know I find it so difficult to put this into words. And I feel like this is a conversation that, like, personally, I'm already finding so important, because it's making me think of, okay, these are, like, what Hamid and Salim, you've just said now, are things that I've definitely experienced but never put the time or effort into trying to elaborate upon. Mm-hmm. I feel this energy, like you said, in specific places, and it's not about new versus old, or like, again, like you said, I don't want to be traditionalist or orientalist or like go against the grain or whatever, but it's genuinely, there's an energy that you can feel and an energy that you can sense in specific places that, like you said, they sort of tether, like you feel tethered to them in one way or another, like, or another. And I feel like it's really a conversation worth having. And I find that it's interesting that just by looking at your art before, we haven't like touched up on this concept of energy, but by looking at your art, both me and Salim as viewers, as an audience, we're able to come to this sort of like realization or a reply or a conversation that we're all like very engaged in, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's so interesting.
Yeah, I like that too. And like, I like that you mentioned tethering again, because tethering was a word you used multiple times here. And it's an interesting word. It's strong diction. It provokes a lot. But do you ever think that... And actually, it reflects in your work too, the tethering, the whole element of tethering, by the way that you overlay your characters or your individuals onto the pieces, onto the backgrounds. So I'm just wondering, do you think that this tethering is something that finds itself into the way that you present your Khaliginess? Do you think that there's any overlaying in your identity as a Khaliji man? Or do you think there's a lack of a tether there? Do you think there's a separation there? Do you think there's no connection in spirit there?
No, I don't think so. And I like that you said that, because I think I like to think of people with having like multiple layers, you know, the layers I show to you might not be the layers that I show to, you know, someone I just met, or the layers that I show to myself in my own private, like, room are not the layers that I kind of let go of when I leave the house to go somewhere. So I feel like, in the sense of me overlaying images and stuff, I've always had a relationship with, like, collaging and then doing and making, like, these, like, weird images with, like, different things that go over like one solid image. And I just felt like through this project, like, I felt, again, I wanted to kind of add the human element, and I didn't know a way to do that that would be true to me, because I didn't want to do it in a way that was like a way that I wasn't really experienced in. So I found myself doing this, and I liked it, and in some cases I was worried also about it kind of being, like, unpolished or looking sort of, like, out of place. But I kind of felt that this out of placeness and this unpolished way of doing things was also relating to my identity and me specifically as a Khaliji, because you know how it is sometimes, you know, sometimes you have to put up this polished exterior to thrive or even succeed in our society, which I have always kind of fought against, maybe not in ways that are really intense and very tangible ways that we can see, but just me myself internally, in ways that are maybe simple, you know, not revolutionary, but always kind of found myself going against that. So yeah, I think overlaying in our identities is necessary to fit in, but also not fit in. It kind of has its way of protecting us while also letting us be free, you know, be free to choose who we kind of let go of these layers for. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it definitely does. Shamsa, do you have anything you wanted to say?
Yeah, no, I felt like that was such an interesting point you said at the end there. Does that make any sense? And I'm like, no, you literally spoke the words that I you spoke words out of my head for me. So thank you so much for putting it into those terms, because I think it's so interesting, this concept of layering versus overlayering and then shedding, depending on who you're around and even sometimes with yourself, you know, how much of those layers can you shed? How much can you really, how much could you... Can you sort of talk to yourself freely, you know, because you're talking about this concept of, like, freedom that it could give you. And I think it's so interesting because, like, I feel like freedom is a conversation that, like you said, sometimes doesn't have to be necessarily revolutionary and loud and bust through the door, like, you know, and be in your face, but rather it could be in the little things. It could be in the little manifestations, whether it's in your art or in your performance of your identity, or whether it's in your true form that you would like to identify as your true form. It's so interesting navigating around a landscape, like you said, where you feel like you're almost always expected to be polished. I think it touches on so many aspects of being, like, I don't know if it's fair for me to say, but I feel like it touches upon a lot of aspects of what it means to be to be Khaliji youth, you know.
Yeah.
And, like, we were able to have this entire conversation without one time mentioning our identity as, like, the identity Khaliji.
Yeah, know? Exactly.
But through this conversation I feel like all of us, or most of us, would be able to relate to what you're saying here.
Yeah, so, and that's actually something that as we were having the conversation, I was like, we are manifesting a lot of thoughts about our identity as Khaliji youth, but we're never labeling it. We're never saying Khaliji youth until I literally said as a Khaliji man, or until Shamsa said Khaliji youth. So this is a very interesting way of perceiving how we perceive ourselves and how we talk about ourselves. And I like that, Shamsa, you were thinking about his mentioning of freedom, because I was also thinking about his mentioning of freedom. And this brings us to, like, the last question I think we have at the moment. And it has to deal with the limitations that you have in your photography and in your writing, especially in relation to this region, to your state, to our state, without getting political, because we don't know what could happen. But what limitations do you think come across in your work? And I'm going to challenge you by saying, what limitations other than censorship do you think come across in your work or your practice?
So I kind of always felt the weight of limitations. It's throughout my, like, my teenage years, I would say. It used to be a heavy one. It was, like, almost debilitating for me. I used to carry this weight with me wherever I go. And it wasn't something that I was happy to hold on to, but I still held it. And I think of this quote by Alice Walker, where she said, and I believe that she said it best, and she said, "Whenever we grow, we tend to feel it. As a young seed must feel the weight and inertia of the earth as it seeks to break out of its shell on its way to becoming a plant. But what is most unpleasing is not knowing what is happening." And I frankly had no idea what was happening. This is kind of when I decided to reimagine this weight, that the weight of the limitations. I started to kind of go into my own, like, inner world and really kind of turn this weight that I felt into something that I could use for my own art and my own creativity and my own process. And I started to imagine the things around me. I started to kind of think about if they were, you know, if they had, like, voices, what would they say? If they had feelings, what would they feel? How would they feel them? And soon enough, this weight became lighter. And I feel like it's hard to kind of also answer this question, because ideally there would be no limitations. You know, I would pick up my pen, I would pick up my camera, and I would just do as I please with them. But I do realize the gravity of limitations, but not in a sort of resentful way or an angry way, but in a realistic one. So kind of talking about limitations that are personal to me. So I struggled, you know, throughout my entire, like, childhood and teenage years with illness. And I just felt like I couldn't really do what I wanted to do because of something that I couldn't control. And I don't know if this is, like, the Virgo in me, but, like, being out of control, like, sucks. And it ate me up, sort of, because I felt like all I had were my books and my films and my camera that I could barely even take out. You know, like, looking at a camera felt like the camera was kind of mocking me, you know, like, Oh, you can't use me. You know what I mean? Like, you can't go out with me and take me to where you want to take me. So that was a limit that I had to kind of really force myself to get over. Because as soon as I started, like, getting better, and as soon as I started to be able to do the things I wanted to do, I kind of was also limited by my lack of experience, my lack of, I don't know, like, creative juice that I had to kind of form within myself. And I feel like a lot of times I looked at other artists and I looked at other people where I was like, you know, I want to be doing what they're doing. I want to do what they do. I want to write what they write. You know, sometimes I don't know if you guys listen to Phoebe Bridgers, but, like, there's, like, a lyric there that was, like, in her song, it's called Chinese Satellite, where she says, "I wish I wrote it, but I didn't." And that kind of really, like, it's so simple, but it kind of sums up, like, my thoughts, where she talks about learning the entire words to a song because she wished she wrote it, but she didn't. And that was kind of my childhood, you know, like, I kept learning all these things because at some point I was like, I want to make my own. You know, so I really had to kind of get over that limit that I had. And you got me there by saying don't talk about censorship, because now I'm just trying to like rattle my brain, because that was the first thought that came to my mind. But
I put a limit on you to talk about your limitations.
Exactly.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I think that was an active choice I made, because in my head, limitations are where we really, truly challenge ourselves, and they are where we begin to actually flourish and where we begin to actually explore and creatively move into these other realms and these activate different energies. After this session, we will be opening birth chart readings hosted by Hamed. if anyone would want them.
Yeah, I feel like I just wanted to go off of that, and like again, with that taking away this concept of censorship and just hearing what you say, and I wanted to ask you, do you feel like with your limitations, the most of them, do you think they're external limitations, or are they internal limitations? Are they a mix of both? Do they feed into each other? Or is it even a thought that you've considered when it comes to your art yet, or is it something that you haven't yet?
I mean, I think both, like external and internal, because I feel like you said, they kind of both feed into each other. When it comes to like external, you know, sometimes I like don't know what to, I don't know where to find the right things that I need. I don't know where to, like the accessibility that we have for anything creative is sometimes lacking. I mean, you can find it if you actively go and look for it, but just talking about like, it's a hard thing to do, you know, and balancing, let's say your university career, your whatever your home life is, your creative work and all that. Some people don't have time to just like, spend their entire like day just looking for ways to kind of create what they want to create. So I feel like when it comes to that external force, I feel like that was sort of limiting. Mm-hmm. And also there's a lot of sort of like, I don't want to call it like gatekeeping that happens like with art. But there's sort of
there is a lot of gatekeeping. No. There is a lot of gatekeeping here.
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel like you guys can relate to this too, Yanni. Even though we don't live in the same place, the sentiment is always there, you know, in the art world. Yes. Where it's like constantly like, you know, I don't know if it's just people not wanting you to succeed, but it's, or maybe people thinking you're gonna do a better job than they're doing. You know what I mean? It's sort
I
of like
it's probably the latter. I think yeah. It's the latter.
So it's like this constant like struggle to kind of put your foot, just even not even putting your toe in the water, but literally like getting to the water. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
At all, yeah.
So it's like, that is also an external limitation that I kind of had to navigate through, you know, and it's all about like networking connections and all that, that kind of get you through that. But
it's,
yeah.
It's like a very, you know, scene. I feel like the Arab exactly. arts world, or at least the Khadija world, it's very, if you know, you know, and if you don't know, there's a reason you don't know. Exactly. Like, you know what yeah. I mean?
If you don't know, then khalas, you're not getting in. That's the end of the story.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, like that's enough to tell them about yourself. And I feel like just to respond to something that you were saying, Hamed, before I forgot, it is so interesting, because I remember when I first stumbled upon your Instagram account, I sent it to my friend and I said to her, literally, I'm not even joking, this guy makes the kind of art I want to make. And it's so funny, because I like you were saying that and I was like, shut up, like no way.
No
like,
see, this is crazy, the way that the energies are aligning. No, I keep hating to bring this up, but it's just freaky at the moment.
No, but it's crazy, because I feel like it's so telling of what it is to be like an artist, or what it feels like to be an artist ever, but also specifically, like you said, in a place where you find it so hard to easily navigate like the art world. You know, it feels so hard to find things accessible, and it becomes very difficult for you as a person to want to, or to feel incentivized to go do the things that you want to do, you know. And sometimes I think it is an internal reason that's been like sort of that came out of an external reason. Like for me, the external reason, like you said, is it feels very difficult to access this world that allows me to be creative, considering with all things considered. And then all of a sudden, I have all these limiting beliefs that tell me that I can't do it, or there's no point. It's too late. Like, I don't know what it is that, like, and they're all things that if you told me or you said now, I'd be like, no, Hamad, 100%, exactly, you got this, yeah, you know? But there are things that I let myself tell myself and feed into that are so unfortunate because why not? Like, you know?
Why not?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. And thank you for saying that. Thank you
for saying that. No, for real.
Y'all are so sweet. But speaking of why not, I don't know how to do a transition into an ending, so I'm going to be like, why not end this episode here on a sweet note? And I appreciate your time. I appreciate the conversation that you gave us, Hamad. It was fun. It was filled with energy.
Yeah, thank you so much for, like, entirely. And thank you so much for, like, getting a lot of thoughts started, you know what I mean? I feel like Salim said, like, why not end it here on a good note? But I don't think it ends here physically. I feel like this conversation will birth so many more. And thank you so much for your time, and thank you for sharing your art with us and giving us, like, your insights. We really appreciated it.
Thank you guys also so much. And I just want to say just one final thing about you guys. Like, the way you guys kind of created your own community with each other and created this entire, like, project from start to finish, and seeing it, you know, seeing it go from where it was to where it is fantastic to see, because this is what I mean when I say that, like, you kind of have to take the initial step to, if you don't see what you want to do in the market, or, like, if you don't see what you want to be involved in, you should just create it. And I feel like you guys did that, and I thank you for including me in it.
Thank you for being willing to be a part of it. That was a spiritual video podcast. I did not expect us to manifest that conversation about horoscopes and manifesting energy. That's something that's always so random to come up, but it makes so much sense to me, always. And I think it makes sense to Hamad's photo essay and his storytelling mechanism of the story of the brick that he walks of the bricks as he walks through the city of Doha. So make sure to pick up a copy of our book, Encapsulated Volume 1, Photo Essays on Khaliginess, to read his story and to enter the world of Hamad and all our other artists. Make sure to order that book on soalif.store and to purchase any other prints by any of our artists. Make sure to also follow us on Instagram, soalif.collective. And lastly, make sure you also follow and support Hamad on Instagram at hamad.jf. Thank you all for an awesome episode, and we will see you in the next one. Bye.
إلى اللقاء.
إلى اللقاء, everyone.